Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to Old Millennials, a deep dive on shallow topics from the late 90s and 2000s. I am one of your hosts, Emily Bejean.
And I'm your other host, Margot Poupard.
Well, this is a super special episode because today we are joined by Kate, Meg, and Meg from Vicious Cycle. Welcome, ladies.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Woo.
Woo. Woo.
So give an overview of Vicious Cycle's podcast. Vicious Cycle is the only comedy podcast about periods hosted by Kate Elston, Megan Hayes, and Meg Trowbridge, three best friends and bleeders. And as two fellow bleeders on this here podcast today, we are so excited that you are joining us. But more importantly, I think we are really excited because I think this topic rings true to all bleeders.
<We're>, so true.
We will be revisiting a few teen magazines that meant a whole lot to us today. We will be talking about YM, which I found out stands for Young and Modern, but later was changed to Your Magazine, and 17 Magazine.
I'm sorry, that's bullshit. You can't have a magazine be Your Magazine magazine.
It is redundancy. It's the chai tea lattes. It's the chai tea of magazines.
So true.
Did anyone else have a theory for what YM stood for? Because I thought it was Young Miss forever.
Oh, wow. I really thought it was Yum for the longest time. And I was like, oh, there's not like a missing you, or it's not like, you know,
it's like the culinary teen magazine for girls who cook.
Well, more like girls who should be eating less because they gave some very questionable dieting advice.
Oh, 100%.
God. I have thoughts. I have so many thoughts.
Well, I mean, at this point, let's just kind of dive into it, guys, since we're already talking about it. What are our relationships to 17 and YM?
I mean, I guess I'll start. I would say I didn't have an allegiance to like either NSYNC or Backstreet Boys either. I was a boy band connoisseur, and that's the same for teen magazines. I subscribed to like all of them, I think, and I couldn't tell you which one was really which. But I do remember at some point I had subscribed to YM, 17, Teen Vogue, Teen People, Lucky, Twist, Jump.
Wow.
Does anyone remember Jump? Because Jump was where it started for me.
There was very short-lived. There was an issue of Jump that had Hayden Christensen on the cover, and I bought it specifically for that. And I think it was to promote Star Wars, but I was not interested in the Star Wars at all. And I remember trying to find it in an airport later on and it vanishing from the shelves.
Yeah, it's funny. I could not find record of it until y'all sent us like a bunch of links for today, and one of them mentioned it. And then I fell down that rabbit hole. Anyway, I think whatever. My relationship is that I read them all. And my funny story that I just also remembered is that my dad worked for Prime Media, which is a publishing company that published 17. And for my whole adolescence, he told me he would get me a free subscription to 17. And he never followed through. So thanks a lot, Dad.
It was bought by Hearst. I will point out that in the 90s, it was bought by Hearst. And so that is probably where.
Okay, he could have still pulled a string. He was dead. Okay.
Wow. As for me, Meg T here. Hi, longtime listener, first time guest.
Hi, Meg T.
Hi. I was definitely more of a 17 girl. But I was also, so I don't think I subscribed to any magazine except for maybe Teen People.
Ooh, classic choice. Mm-hmm. I like it. Mm-hmm,
thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Because I think maybe for a bit of time, but for me, the joy, the thrill was going to the store to pick out the magazine myself, because there were just some issues that weren't going to sound interesting to me. And I was like dedicated to making sure the hottest boys were on the cover. And so I was just like always on a hunt for boy band information. So yeah, I was very, I guess you could call me like kind of a slut. When it comes to magazines,
just kind of like mag slut.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's like what everyone called me at school. But between, if we're talking 17 and YM, I was definitely more of a 17.
Meg, they were being like, oh, Meg, yeah, she's a slut. Meg, slut. That's what they were saying, girl.
Meg Maxlin. Meg.
It's all clicking now.
I hear she gets all of the issues of Teen People to her house. Just
she just lets them right in her door.
Flipping pages over and over.
Licking her little fingers before she flips the page.
Tearing out all the perfume ads and putting them on her neck, all slow-like.
Yeah. Seductive.
Margo, do you have any fun stories to share about 17 and YM or your relationship to those?
I mean, nothing that has changed drastically from the last time we talked about teen magazines. I'd say 17 was maybe like my number two, number three kind of alternate. But for some reason, like whether it was like through school or people that used to sell you magazine subscriptions door to door or whatever, I would always end up with like 3 months of a run of like a certain kind of teen mag. So you get Teen Vogue for 3 months. Then I'd be like, oh, you have to give the money. I'd be like, not for me. And then would move on to like Teen People. And I would really say Teen People was like my gateway drug into like loving shitty tabloids. So, and I'm sure that was intentional on people's part to make sure that they captured a future reader like me. Yeah. But it was always kind of like 17, Cosmo Girl, and like Teen Vogue for like the aspirational stuff that Cosmo I couldn't afford Girl. Or do or didn't look like. So,
yeah.
But we talked about it before, like 17 and Cosmo Girl were essentially in its most influential time, like edited by Atusa. And so.
Never forget.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys read that Slate piece with her, and there were some things like she was very much like Connie Britton in The White Lotus. And you're like, oh, this does not like age super well when she talks about how she's empathetic towards white men, like apropos of nothing. And I was like, okay, I can't believe I took like hair advice from you for like 10 years.
Atusa was truly a blast from the past. When that name came up, I was like, yowzas. That name I haven't thought of in a long time because she was so present in my adolescence that I had forgotten about her.
Meg Hayes, what's your relationship to teen mags, YM or 17?
I similarly saw that name and face and was like, how do I know this face like I know my own hand? Like, I don't understand. I was like, who is this woman that helped raise me? I'm so confused. I also totally forgot.
Like, she's so familiar yet so distant.
Yeah, I was like, couldn't tell you where she was from our childhood, but I was like, oh yeah, her, the lady with the hair and the face. I remember.
The lady. Okay, Kathy Hilton. I see you.
thank you. That's the nicest thing you've ever said about me. I believe I had a subscription to Teen Vogue, and I appreciated that Teen Vogue was like smaller. It was like, you know, like laptop.
Oh, like in size.
Yeah, in size.
No, yeah, you're right. In literal size, it was smaller.
Yeah. And I just loved, like, my junior year of college, we had this nice big apartment on campus and we hung all of this yarn and then like, clothes-pinned a bunch of pictures on it. So to me, Teen Vogue was perfect for like ripping pages out with really beautiful prints. And I was thinking about y'all when I was like thinking of this memory where one of the magazines did like a huge Alice in Wonderland spread, but that might have been Vanity Fair. I remember that vividly. I think that was maybe like early college for all of us. But yeah, I just appreciated the aesthetic of Teen Vogue. Maybe Teen Vogue didn't give you diet tips, but it did cast only prepubescent girls. So, you know, it did its job at making you be like, wow, I don't understand how that this teenager, quote unquote teenager, is so teeny tiny.
I actually only got Teen Vogue because I somehow ended up on a subscription for YM towards the tail end of YM. So I got that for a few years. And then when YM folded and became Teen Vogue, or, you know, was essentially its subscriber list was like brought into Teen Vogue and those people who were subscribed got Teen Vogue. That's how I ended up getting into Teen Vogue. Oh. But yeah, for no I didn't choose YM. YM chose me. And I think
I'm pretty sure like you, it's what I'm getting from all these conversations is that we just walked into spaces and we were gifted subscriptions to teen magazines. Yes, they were like, yeah. You pathetic and lost. Here, take us into Cosmo Girl.
Oh, do you identify as a reader? Here's a magazine. It's like reading, but less nerdy.
Yeah.
Completely. I would love to know what boys we started kind of like we, you know, like our uncles or whatever, like, you know, it would be surefire thing that teens love. Magazines. Like what if what was the boy equivalent?
They were getting baseballs in the mail. I don't know.
I would say maybe like baseball cards or video games or skateboarding. Yeah. Like that's all that I know that they're up to.
You know how like, because like Cosmo is kind of like, because some of these magazines were like Cosmo Junior, like Cosmo Girl, right? And so, but like once you could sneak a Cosmo, there'd be like great sex tips. So I just thought maybe there was like, you know, instead of like a Playboy, there was like a Play Buddy.
great masturbation tips.
Play Buddy is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Young Esquire, like GQ2.
Have to make non-alcoholic martinis.
like junior varsity, JV GQ.
Yes. Yep.
Did Ronan Farrow
Sports like Illustrated and annotated?
Oh my god! I want to read the like Ronan Farrow 11-year-old article for like Playboy or Play Buddy, whatever.
So we talked a little bit, you know, people brought up Atuza when we were all chatting about, you know, our relationships to 17YM. But I just want to see if anyone on here remembers like a specific writer that they loved or a section or column that you liked in these magazines. It sounds like we were all a little like magazine agnostic here and it kind of all becomes a blur. But were there any particular prompts or sections that you liked in these magazines?
I loved the embarrassing stories. Every magazine seemed to have some sort of like embarrassing story. And I was going through a few trying to jog my memory. And I was like, oh, yeah, they all seem totally fake. Like they all seemed like they were written by the same writer. They all involved people talking about their crushes as my babe or my hottie or, you know. Yeah. And then they all of the embarrassing moments happened when a person of authority tapped me on the shoulder. Like, and then they were standing behind me the whole time, you know, the librarian or the principal. But I did enjoy reading back some, and there were a couple period ones in there, which I really liked. And one of the most horrific ones was a person was changing their pad and it fell under the stall as she was folding it up, like balling up the used pad, and it fell under the stall and went into the next one, and a popular girl happened to see it and said, ew, gross. And I was like, that is so embarrassing. Like, that is horrific. Like, it was bad enough to change, as we've talked on Vicious Cycle many times, to change your pad and people could hear the rustling, which now I'm like, fuck it. Everyone like, ding, ding, like I'm changing my tampon or whatever. But like, at the time, it was so horrible. And to think that like your used pad, if this was really happened, which I'm sure it did, like slid under the stall and the next person saw it. Like it keeps me up. It really does. That thought of that happened.
It was asleep. Yeah. I went back and reread that story. It felt the most real out of all of the most traumatic stories. It really felt like something that could happen to you or your friend.
The other funny thing I remember too about those is like, I threw up all over my crush, but then he asked me out anyway. I was like, no, he didn't. Yeah,
right.
Like, no. Pick a side.
Pure fan fiction.
That literally reminds me of Elle Woods in like Legally Blonde, where she's like, yeah, I mean, I barfed on a guy during the Blair Witch Project and we still dated for 3 weeks. Like,
Oh my gosh. And then one of them, I just basically liked all of the like reader questions, reader submissions, like, you know, anything that was like user generated or like reader sourced. Cause I remember one of them was like, it was like the most romantic thing that's ever happened to me. And they were clearly all so fake. And one of them was like the hottie on the football team who like we shared a locker. And then day he surprised, you read this one too. He surprised me with the whole football team singing like,
No.
L is for the way you look tonight. Like he's like, during the whole,
like this. No. This is not romantic. This is a part in Scream 2. Like, don't fall for it.
Or it's like clearly a plot line from Glee. Like, that did not happen to you. I'm so sorry to say. Hey,
I remember an eerily similar one where it involved a girl named Virginia, and she was into her friend's brother, and she could hear him play "Meet Virginia" by Train on an acoustic guitar.
No, and this is a daydream.
I shit you not. This is a daydream. I could not make this up if I tried. This was an actual one of those stories in a teen magazine.
That was so ridiculous.
Outrageous.
Yeah. That feels very accurate to how insane those stories were.
But I loved them. There was something like just I still go for like the Dear Abby and Dear Prudence stories. Like I there's something about like hearing from the regular person that I've always really liked. I don't know about you guys though.
I was always and I think why I was a teen people person, though I don't know if they had this like they do in People, but oh, I love those paparazzi pics of the celebs. Oh, I just love the little candid shot of them walking across the street.
See them push a grocery cart through a parking lot.
Oh, baby. It really got my juices flowing. Because I was just like, oh my God, look, they're out in the wild. So, like, just like me, you know? It was very... very alluring. So yeah, anytime, and especially if it was a boy band member,
Meg,
and he just happens to be like out in the world, then I'm like,
would that be?
I don't know if it matters, Meg. I don't know if anyone needs to get into the specifics. Look, here's the thing. I was going to marry AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys. He's recently shaved his facial hair. It's been a tough month.
I hear you.
It's a blow. It's a blow to all AJ heads.
I think you're called Johnny No Names.
Yeah. Right. Don't give yourself.
Thank you. I feel seen. I feel safe. So, yeah. But that was my absolute fave. If there were like candid photos of people I was going to marry or turn out to be, then I really was into that. And now I think paparazzi are so disgusting and it's such like a terrible thing that we do to celebrities, but still mommy like.
Okay.
So Meg, Hayes, I should say, yes. what was your favorite section of YM or 17 or just like teen magazines in general?
I would also say that it is the embarrassing stories because that is also where I read like, you know, some insane story about a girl on Labor Day in white pants that got her period for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Which oh, like, yeah. Like, who knows? That was probably like a million people that submitted that, which I – okay. Oh, my God, you guys. Recently, I just heard that – Tanya Harding got her first effing period in an all-white skating outfit, like, while she was skating. And I was like, how could we have not known this? How is this not in the annals of history?
That's an I, Tanya deleted scene, you guys.
I was going to say.
That's her origin story, man. Like,
ugh. But anyway, I also appreciated the embarrassing stories. Yeah, because they were probably the most relatable part. Like, who in real life is actually living the teenage life that magazines sell you? Like, very few people. So those stories were actually relatable.
No, I agree. Margot, do you have any particular sections that you liked?
I always liked the, as somebody who had terrible acne as a child, loved all the skincare routines. I was willing and ready to try anything but to ask my mom to take me to a dermatologist, apparently. So I really looked to those. And then also like the back to school, like getting yourself back on. This is like early, like, I might have some sort of learning disability where like I need help getting on a schedule, like transitioning back into like having to wake up and be places by a certain time. And so they always had those like back to school guides that I always kind of look to. And Emily and I have talked about this before, but I really like heavily, especially from middle school into high school, relied on American teen girl magazines,
yes,
to have any sort of semblance of like what to expect, because my mom went to an all girls boarding school in like a completely different country and had
literally my
zero
mom as
insight
well.
To yeah. offer me at all about what the high school experience would be like. So
yeah, I mean, that's, we've talked about this too. Yeah, like this same thing. So you, the three of you may not know this, but Margaret and I both have French mothers, and so like growing up, mm-hmm. this was like teen movies, teen magazines, teen shows, like, are for us, were kind of like this Americana touch point of like, oh, this must be what it's going to be like. For me, like, I think I agree with you, like, Margot, some of those sections really meant a lot to me. And the back to school sections where I felt the most seen is every once in a while, there would be a section in back to school fashions in particular for girls like me who had to wear a uniform, because most of the time, any sort of back to school fashion issue really meant nothing to me, sadly. So anytime they had a little like, here's how you can have fun with your uniform. Like article, it was just a glimmer
wear a
of
vibrant
hope.
Pin.
Maybe gonna have a fun backpack.
Say it with your trapper keeper.
I distinctly remember. There were a few summers where I got the back to school issue before I was out of school for the summer. because we went through, you know, they always publish a month ahead, right? So you'd be getting the August issue in July. Yep. It would be late June. I would not be out of school yet because we went late into June. So it'd be like, I'd be, you know, June 25th, I'd be coming home from school. There's the July issue. There's the issue that should be arriving on my door July. It's come early. It's the August issue. Hence, it's back to school. And I'd be like, God. Fuck you, teen people. Or
give me a minute. Like,
fuck out of here.
But Say It With Your Trapper Keeper brought back a memory. There was an article in one of these teen magazines. It might have been 17 about how to like decorate your binder to show off your personality. Like, if you're crazy, make sure you have lots of pictures of lusty Leonardo DiCaprio. There's lots of alliteration happening in YM too that I found disturbing.
So many English majors on their staff. So many English majors.
Excessive use of the word chica, which I might hate more than someone calling me mama at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have I told you the horrendous tale of when I was a moderator online for Girls Life magazine for a month after I graduated college?
Okay, oh boy, I didn't hear everything about that.
Oh God. So just for a month, but I was monitoring their forums on Saturday mornings, which meant that, and that's a mostly 14 to 16 year old, it's more like a 13 to 15 year old magazine. And basically I had to moderate, you know, what girls were writing in, and like some of the exploits, either people were trolling me or like there were 13 year olds who were doing some things that I was just like not equipped as a practically unemployed 22 year old to be handling or moderating or like steering any young girl in any sort of direction. All I could do was just like, oh, you don't need to lose this weight. Here's what you can do instead. Just be healthy. Eat some fruits and vegetables. Like, oh my God.
Wow.
Thankless job. Thankless job. Go ahead.
And it just sounds like Everest. Like, what a nightmare.
There's just nothing you can do. We kind of got into our favorite sections. What really were your least favorite sections about the magazines, or what were things that you dreaded reading or, you know, rolled your eyes at?
I think for me, I was, if you knew me, if you saw me, this wouldn't surprise you, but I kind of skipped past all like the beauty and fashion tips. I never cared about that stuff. And if you saw what 13-year-old Kate looked like, you'd be like, yeah, that checks out. She looks like she's not reading the how to do your hair technique tips. But yeah, no, so I think I would just skip over those. I still do. I don't really care about that kind of stuff as much, which also, if you know me, you know, like, I don't have much of a fashion sense. So maybe what I'm learning about myself is I should have read those sections. But yeah, like all those spreads, like the spreads like 3/4 of the way through of just like a fashion shoot, couldn't be bothered.
I think for me too, like the, like, because it always felt like near the back of the magazines, there was like, you know, this color is really popping this month, and here are the looks that we're putting together, and here's everyone looking amazing. But I was a curvy gal from a young age, so the majority of the time, you know, I'd like look at the pieces, and they're all on waifs, and they're like brands that do not come in plus size. So like, I was just like, yeah, I don't need to know about this. None of this is for me. Okay, moving on. But I did like, I would pay attention to hair because I got some crazy hair. But yeah, same. I was like, all right, fashion for the few.
Yeah.
And that's when I became radicalized.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I would say literally none of the magazines had affordable anything in them. Like, because I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone here grew up like immensely wealthy as far as I know. But yeah, my parents are both teachers. And also we never talked about money. So I was just always afraid to ask for anything. I just assumed we didn't really have a whole lot else. So yeah, I think I just like the aesthetic, but not necessarily things that I would actually be able to go out and buy, maybe replicate. The thing that gave me the most anxiety was just comparing myself to other people that had already kissed someone and like what teenagers. Because I'm assuming, did those magazines ever go into sex?
I feel like there was definitely like healthy sex talk and stuff in there.
Okay.
In some of them, anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe in like a Cosmo Girl versus like a YM. Yeah. I feel like YM was way more surfacey and maybe geared towards like slightly younger, where Cosmo Girl was like trying to convert people that were maybe like junior seniors in high school into college readers later.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was more.
Oh, yeah.
It was more just like, my worst fear is realize like I'm totally not like normal high school girls because I haven't even like held hands with a guy and all these people are like kissing and having boyfriends and they're 15 and I'm like, lol, I just
a virgin who can't drive.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
No. Honestly, if we're gonna call never mind.
What were you gonna say? Who's the virgin who can't drive? If we're gonna call anyone a virgin who can't drive,
I was gonna say that's still what we call Meg today. But I was just kidding. I kid. Well, I now look back and roll my eyes at all the weight loss things. But I I point the blame for most of my body issues as a kid on the aforementioned Jump, which again, by the research I did last night, I realized it was actually like a fitness magazine. I did not clock that ever, like as a kid, because it was supposed to be like for the active tween or teen. I don't remember that, but I do remember every month they had a feature on someone who lost weight. This started, I think, my obsession with like numbers. And so it's like she's 5'6" and weighs 100. And before she weighed 140. Now she's 120. And those like numbers just stuck with me. You know, you're like, okay, I'm 140. Is that bad? And I'm 5'6". You know, like you start to really internalize those numbers. And it was damaging. And I remember my mom, because I was like 10 when I started reading it. And I remember my mom being concerned that I was reading like teen magazines. And now I get why, because like, that's tough.
God.
Yeah. This segues really nicely into kind of some of our questions, which are just like, what would you find now as an adult, like super problematic about this for teenagers that we just didn't, you know, notice? Obviously, this particular narrative where there were a lot of like weight loss or diet related articles in these magazines were super problematic. Are there any others that you look back on and are just like, wow, this is definitely not content any teenager should have to deal with?
I think just all the skinny models, you know, like, and of course, like goes without saying, like very white, very heteronormative, like all of the things. But I think, there was, and I remember there being a push like in the early 2000s to really start showing like models of size. But like it didn't, it was just very, you know, all the models. I mean, that was the late 90s for you. It was just very, very low rise jean appropriate.
Yeah.
There was also a running theme in YM where it was like, let's get a guy's opinion about almost everything.
Oh my God. I forgot there was a section
where they had these three random guys who were all also like slightly too old to be speaking to this audience. Like one was 22 and like there was also a 24-year-old giving advice about how he hits on women. I was like, excuse me, don't you have like a coworker to harass somewhere?
Clearly.
Like, what are you fucking doing? Get out of this magazine.
But I mean, they clearly he's like a writer's friend or something.
Or I mean, who even knows? It's like also early days internet, so like they might have put something up on some message board, and you get some quote unquote 24-year-old creep talking about how he likes to like neg women in bars, and that's how he gets numbers. But the thing that I remembered from rereading some YMs was that they asked these three random guys to like judge Alicia Silverstone, like Brandy Norwood, and some other gorgeous woman. They're like, she wears too much makeup. I like a girl with a natural look. It's like, oh, go fuck yourself, Jared.
Yeah, it really became about like centering men's opinion about you. Like that became really important.
And doing things for men, like to get attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. And like when I was just scrolling through like the covers, you know, like the words that kept like, I think more so now, but like still pretty sexy. Like it's all about appearance and all about like, you know, your look, like what the outside of you says about yourself. And it's just like, oh my God, like it actually doesn't matter at all, you know? And so it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a thing about cultivating like your personality or what like what you have on the inside counts too. It feels honestly in reading some of them feels very like girl wash your face esque of like all inside of you. But it'd be if you weren't fat, you're like wait what? I'm sorry. It was like a double sided compliment.
Yeah,
I think you'll bring up a good point that no matter who was the editor of all of these magazines, it was so much from a male gaze, even if it was like all female staff. Like it was so, male. And I'm assuming that's, I mean, whatever. I'm assuming one, that's because the culture is so misogynistic. There's a lot of internalized misogyny. If you're like someone working for a magazine, a women's magazine, and I'm sure all of the higher ups were men, but it makes what happened to Teen Vogue all the more like shocking and amazing that someone was just able to come in and be like, so this is all different now. Like what was up was down. And like now it's so wild. Yeah,
it's interesting because I almost feel like it skipped a generation for us to have a teen magazine that could take us to having articles of substance in those. So I'm thinking like Gen X had Sassy, like my cousin who's in her 40s loved Sassy. Like she absolutely loved Sassy magazine, but it folded in the mid 90s and Jane Pratt went on to go, you know, found XO Jane and Jane magazine. But then I feel like for us millennials, there really wasn't, you know, you'd occasionally get an article of substance, like, you know, Cosmo Girl had an article, I think, where they talked about trans people in like 2002, 2003, like trans teenagers. Wow. But, you know, this was few and far in between. Like you were not finding articles or magazines that had a whole lot of substance for teenagers in our generation. I think like Teen Vogue in some ways is doing the work that carrying on the work that Sassy did in the early 90s around writing important pieces, getting people, teenagers, politically active and aware of what's going on around them and in the around this country, around the world, and that kind of thing. So I was doing this research and just kind of realized that we just didn't have that. We would just get, you know, an article every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know what that makes me think of is MTV News. I feel like that was like the most substantial thing that was somewhat geared toward our age group. But even that was a little bit older than us. Like Gideon Yeago, like we were all maybe in middle school at that time. Can't remember.
We were old enough to have a crush on him and still think about him and check his Instagram every once in a while.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Glad we're all on the same
totally
page.
Normal. Totally cool.
Totally cool. Everything's fine.
Great. I have no idea how old that man is. I'm like, is he 30 or 50?
Don't
want to
know.
Who
he's too hot. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Great. Glad to know he still can get it.
I was just kind of thinking through, like, you know, the best kind of follow up for this. When you were researching these magazines, I mean, we've talked about now, like, what seems problematic. Were there any kind of good memories? Like, you know, we talked about the cringe. We appreciated those embarrassing articles or stories because it made people feel relatable. And then there were bad memories because a lot of the articles were super male-gazy or body image focused and really only appealed to a very thin white woman's point of, like, you know, featured only kind of thin white women. Do you remember any other things about your adolescence, when you were a teen reading these magazines? Were there any other kind of good or bad memories that came up as you were going through these articles and looking through these back issues?
I mean, it's really interesting to remember how, like, the celebs, you know, and just the gossip and how, you know, I think wasn't the 90s kind of the time when it became fashion models weren't on magazine covers, but celebrities, like actors.
Mm-hmm. It was like the beginning of that transition of actors and celebrities, singers, musicians that were kind of coming up at the time. They sold the magazine essentially. And they kind of touched on it a bit in that Slate piece about Atusa, about how she had kind of like a slow start with her newsletter, even though when she was back doing her like famous editor letters before, millions of people would read it. But that's because she had Christina Aguilera on the cover to like help sell the magazine, which then was her way to get into people's houses or whatever.
Totally. Yeah. And like, it was fun to look back at that and be like, they were doing profiles on like a 20-year-old Reese Witherspoon or whatever, you know? And it's like, oh, wow. Like, these people have been around a long time. Like, it's almost like good for Reese, you know? But like, I don't know. It was kind of wild. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio, obviously, we all know, you know, it's a weird reminder to be reminded that these people have been around so long in our lives, like truly like in our living rooms and in our lives, in our bedrooms.
And in our hearts. Hello.
Leo.
It's just a personal memory, but I remember, I think this was before, so I get my timelines mixed up, because in middle school I absolutely got the teen beats and the teen bop and tiger beat. Anyways,
tiger beat.
There were like those magazines that were so purely like fluffy profiles for, you know, young readers.
Hey, well, there was some fan poetry and artwork in there featured in some important literary journals. I'm just putting that out there.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Thank you for reminding me to honor some of the good writing in there. But so what I think is that I would get those. I would just rip out the pages, put them on my wall, and then I became a woman, and I have this memory of being like, you know, hiding out in my house down
as
in the
women
basement,
do,
and
as
my mom
women
came home
do.
From
work.
As we are wont to do, and my mom had just like come back from the grocery store. And she was like, "Hey, Maggie, I saw this, thought you might like it." And she handed me the very first issue of Teen People with Jennifer Love Hewitt on the cover.
Wow.
And I just remember looking at it and being like, this is the coolest magazine I've ever seen in my life. Like, I was just, it blew my mind. And I just like pored over every page. I was like, this is for me. Like, I had felt so seen. And I was like, I'm a teen now. I am definitely a teen who at some point is going to be beautiful and have sex. And it was so exciting.
And look at you now.
And look at me now, babies.
Would you say that is the cover of a teen magazine that you felt like that was when culture was for you? Was that teen magazine specifically?
Wow. Magazine related? Yes. That was when I was like, wow, I've arrived. It's arrived. We've arrived. Yeah.
And then you sang Millennium by Robbie Williams.
That's a great song.
It is a great song.
Of course. He had a great album.
Yeah.
That's a good album.
Yeah.
It's a good album. What a bop. we're going down memory lane. Are there, before I get into my next question, does anyone have any other fond memories
that they want to share? No one's talked about the horoscopes yet.
Oh,
how could I gloss over the fact that that was my, I mean, talk about gateway drug to now, you know, having like multiple astrology apps on my phone. I definitely, I mean, talk about like I don't know, just generalized anxiety about the future, like reading those horoscopes. I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely going to get an A on that math quiz. And that's also where I learned numerology, which I then relearned again today how to do it. And I was like, I'm a one.
I'm a one.
I'll just never forget one time I was reading that with a friend, and the first words out of like the Aries section was, ballsy Uranus makes its way into your orbit. And everyone was just like, hold okay. For ballsy Uranus. Like, what English major is doing that? Come on.
It was a bet. You know someone wants to bet. The office party. Like,
exactly.
There's a Teen People that has like Mandy Moore, Eve, and Cisco on it that I will just never forget about ever, not one time.
Oh,
oh wow.
Mm-hmm,
wow.
Mm-hmm. Hard to erase.
There are some covers from that time that just, yeah, they stick with you. It's amazing how much I enjoyed, like, why I find myself still supporting certain celebrities to this day. Do I care for Drew Barrymore's new talk show? Like, I'm kind of, I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I'm just like indifferent. But I feel the need to support her. I bought something from Flower Beauty at Walgreens the other day. Like, there's just something about Drew Barrymore that is just like such a staple from teen magazine days. Like, anytime she was on the cover of anything, I would buy it. Like, I adore her. I think it's because she reminds me of my cousin, the one who's obsessed with Sassy. Like, they both talk with a lisp. They look very similar. Like, in some ways, Drew Barrymore is my California cousin that I never had besides you, Margot. Like,
aww. I'm going to take that compliment.
My cousin also reminds me of Drew Barrymore. That's so funny. She is like.
I thought you were going to say your cousin reminds you of me. I'm really disappointed now.
I'm disappointed too. I would love a cousin like Margot, especially for like family functions. Aww. It'd be really fun. Because then we just talk.
I can just come with you next time. Yeah.
That would be great. Because then we could just like, quietly talk shit about everyone. That'd be so fun.
But I like more.
You know that.
I have to ask you guys, as adults, this was something that I think another way people kind of got the teen magazine subscriptions was it would just be, yeah, it was a gift from like an uncle or whatever. But like, do you think, you would gift one of these subscriptions to a teenager? I don't know.
I was just about to say, like, is Teen Vogue even in print? I thought they ceased printing and they're only online, right?
Oh, because I was going to say Teen Vogue, I would consider. And I do think after these conversations we've had about, like, the damage we do to people's body image with, like, all the various photography we force at people, I think now there are things are better, but I'd want to make sure there was like, points of view and not just like be pretty and go to prom.
You are correct, by the way, right. Margo. They ceased publication. It looks like the final issue was December 2017 and everything has strictly been online since in Teen Vogue.
Wow. Yeah, I think I wonder what will come to replace it. I mean, obviously it's going to be online and sort of to Meg's point about you already get a lot of like filtered faces in your day-to-day life, whether it's like on the internet or just walking around. I don't know if kids necessarily need one more thing unless it was something that was, I don't know, like that Old Navy commercial with A.D. Bryant where it's like it actually shows diversity in size and shape and all of that and like is a little bit more inclusive and maybe isn't necessarily written by teens, but maybe isn't written by like Riverdale writers, something that's a little bit more grounded in reality.
Well, you bring up written by teens. Like, I think Rookie was another example of just like something that where they tried to, I think, bring in you know, kind of a sassy like voice in the 2010s. Again, mm-hmm. that was a free publication. It wasn't. I don't think it was paid.
It wasn't? I thought it was a paid newsletter.
Oh, maybe it was. I don't remember. Anyone else have thoughts about giving the non-existent magazine subscription to a teenager?
To our non-existent teen friends?
Yes. How do you do, fellow kids? How would you feel about this magazine subscription?
Or, like, what kind of magazine would you want to, like, I don't know, come after this, like, wave of teen magazines? Like, what would be, like, the better alternative?
I mean, I'm just trying to understand in teen in like 2020s teen vernacular what the equivalent is. And I think the equivalent is like TikTok and YouTube and like influencers. Because like if we think about what is the most damaging for kids, like at this point in time, it's like, oh, where do you get your body image issues? Fucking Instagram and TikTok and like filters. So it's interesting because I guess if we have like teens in our lives or people listening to the show, it's more just like teaching online like literacy and understanding like what you're looking at mm-hmm. isn't real. Yes. Kind of mm-hmm. like, you know, mm-hmm. the Photoshop yeah. of our time, right? Like actually understanding as a kid, this is not real. Because no one told us that magazines aren't real. No one was like, that's not how that person actually looks. Like, that was not a part of the conversation. I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting you bring that up because it's like there's two sides to this, right? There's the one, we know so much more now about Photoshop and editing tools and face filters and all that mm-hmm. that you can – you know that most pictures you're looking at right now on Instagram or so many other apps are not actual real photos, but heavily retouched. But then on the other hand, on the flip side of that, there's even more of a pressure to look like that. So to mm-hmm. either add those filters to your photos or to seek out treatments that get you to look like those photos. It's really, mm-hmm. it's interesting that we know everything so much more now than we did back then. Yet procedures to help you look like that are so much more accessible. Like,
yeah,
I remember, you know, teen magazines would never obviously have condoned any sort of plastic surgery, anything back then. Now, you know, you have, I mean, they're mostly celebrities, but you have like, you hear of like 17-year-olds who get like fillers and that kind of thing. It's,
yeah,
it's a very different world.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I was in like a teen charity league in high school. I swear my parents weren't rich. They were teachers. It's just like we hung out, I guess, with the crowd. My parents wanted it on my college resume, blah, blah, blah. But I'll never forget a girl, we were 15 or 16, and she was like, oh, yeah, we have the charity fashion show coming up, so I just got Botox. And I was like, huh? I was so confused. I was like, huh?
What year was what? This?
2000 and... two, three. So right at the beginning, probably.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. She was a lovely girl. Her family was really sweet, but I think she went with her mom. Like, what fucking do you have on your forehead at 15? So wild, dude. And I remember another girl in that charity league got fake boobs our senior year. And my friend went to hug her and she's like, it felt like rocks, just like in Mean Girls.
so sad.
Yep. Mm. Very sad. Yeah, growing up wealthy isn't always great. Like, I mean, whatever. There are great things to it, but there are also shitty things to it, like being exposed to people who get, you know, Botox at 15. Like, what the fuck?
The only other thing I was going to pitch, though, granted, this might have been in the magazines of yore, and I just didn't pay attention because I think there's the conversation of, like, what is good to, like, you know, put out to young readers, and then what are they actually going to buy? Because, like, I was absolutely a shallow, dumb kid. And so if there was, like, a magazine that was, like, get better at math, I probably would not have bought that magazine.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, like, it'd be cool if there were profiles that kind of like, you know, if you're really interested in these celebrities, it might say something about what you want to do with your life. And like, if there were like ways to explore what career paths are, you know, and like, but in ways that are really interesting. So you're like thinking about your future as a teen. Cause like, it took me so long to figure out that I could be a writer professionally. And like, you know, that's kind of ridiculous because I was following writers and comedians this whole time. And it just never dawned on me like, oh, that's a job, you know? So anywho, just like, you know, pointing to people being like, if this is something you're into, this is something you can do.
That's super valid. And I think one thing that I was looking back on, you know, as I was doing a little bit of research for this, and like, it kept coming up, and Margaret and I talked about in a previous episode, Cosmo Girl, kind of the shift of like Atuza Rubinstein going from Cosmo Girl to 17. Cosmo Girl had a whole project called Project 2024, where they would profile, you know, the hope was that it was called that because that was going to be the year the youngest readers of the magazine would be eligible to run for president. So, you know, born in 89. And isn't that crazy? Like, that's 3 years from now. And like,
insane.
We're almost all of us are either already eligible to run for president or almost eligible. Anyway,
wow. I digress.
That's insane.
Pretty wild. But like, they were, I mean, it was like in that landscape of, I think magazines where it was, you know, still a lot of misogynistic male gaze articles. They were interviewing Hillary Clinton. They were interviewing Nancy Pelosi. They were interviewing politicians of the time. It's interesting that like what you're saying, because like obviously that is a very highly aspirational job, but I think there were, you know, bits and pieces of it starting in some magazines with Cosmo Girl, but unfortunately, you know, within the following years, despite changes that happened, like I, you know, I read during my research that YM ceased their dieting articles in 2002, but they folded, you know, 2 years later. I think a lot of magazines started making commitments to revamp some of those outdated, very, you know, body image specific, body conscious type of articles. But it was like too little too late, because unfortunately, a lot of them folded, you know, within that kind of period of 2004 to like 2007. I would say the majority of them did. It's interesting though. I like this idea.
Let's start a magazine, right?
Yeah, I think we could. How hard could it be? Hearst, Condé Nast, hear us today. We're available.
Look, I've seen 13 going on 30. I feel equipped to start this magazine with all of us.
Composure part deux. I think we touched upon this earlier. Obviously, body diversity wise, from a size perspective, there really wasn't much diversity on the pages. The same goes, you know, we mentioned briefly, there were really mostly white bodies that were being shown in these magazines. Do you think at any point there had been some sort of effort to kind of bring that in? I know we kind of briefly talked about it happening maybe closer to like 10 years ago versus the 15, 20 years ago in these magazines' heydays, but did you ever see, you know, any sort of representation at any point in any of these magazines?
It just felt so few and far between. It was like, as long as, you know, like Destiny's Child had a number one hit, then they may be on the cover of a magazine, you know? But like, otherwise it was Cameron Diaz or Drew Barrymore or Mandy Moore or Britney. Like, your grab bag of very tiny blonde women.
It's sort of the same now, right? Where like you have, you know, one to two people that aren't white, and then the rest are sort of like the same people that you see on the covers all of the time. Then they're like, why are magazines dying? It's like, because you keep using the same three people. And especially in the mid-2000s, like you said, Meg D, it's like the same three pop stars, same three actors. And then like every once in a while, if Destiny's Child or Beyonce is like charting, they will have her there. And that's pretty much it. Or Cisco. But he has to share the cover with at least one white person.
Yes.
And yet, so, yeah, you know, I mean, Gwen Stefani gets to wear a goddamn bindi and everyone's like, fashion icon. God damn it.
That was the other interesting part of that, like, YM retread.
Yes.
They talked about how clearly Interscope got into the journalist's ear because all of the pieces about No Doubt up until that point in whatever, maybe 2000, 1999, around there, were always Gwen focused, and the other bandmates, well, probably just Tony Kanal, were really irritated by that. So they had a little sidebar where they sort of profiled them like they were boy band members, which I don't think solved the problem and maybe only made things worse. But tonally, it felt very off brand for the band, but you could see like the start of Gwen Stefani's solo career even way back then.
Totally.
Yeah, I think one that we all researched, it was like, listen about her new man, her new guy. I don't even remember what they said, but it was the guy.
It was about Gavin. Yeah, guy, Gavin.
I was like, shit, this was such a lot. I didn't realize that they had gotten together so long ago. It's like, God damn it. This is a while.
Oh, my God. And now she's with Blake Shelton. Oof.
What happened?
Who would have known?
It's all downhill after that YM cover.
From Bush to a Bush supporter. Like, I mean, it's just.
Oh, God in heaven.
Stings.
That is
tragic. And Nicole Kidman's with Keith Urban. Like, what? How? What simulation are we in?
I don't know. It's a weird universe.
Dude, I mean, obviously we can all agree that Nicole, like, that's a glow up right there. She was with Tom Cruise before. Lest we forget.
Tom, sure.
I mean, we all love those divorce photos of her rejoicing on the street after visiting that lawyer. I saw on Twitter a woman post-divorce had a divorce party where she specifically dressed like Nicole Kidman in those photos.
Oh, that's awesome.
So good.
I wanted to see if any of you had any great stories you wanted to share about these magazines. I feel like we've covered a lot of bases today and personal anecdotes here and there, but would love to hear if any of you have a story you'd like to share about, you know, a particular issue that you loved or an article that, you know, still sticks with you to this day.
One thing I realized I didn't bring up, and it's something that we have now brought back to our podcast for special episodes, but the quizzes.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically doing it in a group. Like, I can so quickly picture myself with I had a little like group of gals that we'd have sleepovers, and we would always do these quizzes out loud, and we'd like, you know, kind of help each other answer them because, you know, you clearly don't know yourself. But it's just so funny, like, looking back, I don't know if I ever answered, like, I could so quickly see through the answers, especially if it was like, which, you know, like Kate did this one for our podcast, like, which Hanson brother are you destined to be with? And it's like so clear that like A is one brother, B is one brother, C is one brother. So I would just always cheat because like obviously
that's why you can't do the quizzes that are mostly A's, mostly B's. You gotta mix them up.
Yeah,
you know,
you gotta mix them up.
Also, I also one remember of those brothers was like 9 years old.
Not anymore, baby.
But for some readers, he was probably their same age, or like maybe you're 11 and he's 9. And
that's why they cut it out.
Sounds odd, but
magazine.
Yeah, I remember also like with those. I remember being so like, I guess I was such like a type A, like it's got to be a perfect quiz because I remember like they would ask things like, you know, the question was like your bestie has tickets to the Hanson concert and you want to go, so you A da da da, and I remember answering like, okay, is this about going to see any concert or specifically Hanson? Because if it's Hanson, I don't care. But if we're talking about Dave Matthews Band, then my answer is different. You know, I was so like particular about how the questions were worded. Like, and I remember another one being like, your go-to makeup is a simple like lipstick or like a smoky eyeliner. And I was like, well, I like eyeliner, but I like simple eyeliner. So should I pick the simple lip or the smoky eye? I don't like smoky, but I like eyeliner. You know, I was so like, I was so nervous that I would pick wrong.
It's funny because you still do that when we do the quizzes. You're like, okay, is this about me or is this about the show Vicious Cycle? Like, okay, what's your favorite candy? What would Vicious Cycle's favorite candy be? Like,
I am so worried that I'm going to misclassify myself.
So funny.
This really tracks with your personality, Kate. So I don't find any of this unbelievable. Yeah. And I can't wait to take a quiz with you.
Everything I needed to learn, I learned from a 17 magazine quiz. Like, it's really.
Yeah.
Thanks, 17.
All right. Well, before we end it for today, I just wanted to see if anyone had any final thoughts, any conclusions that you've come to in our last hour together.
I'm sure I'm going to think of like so many more anecdotes as soon as we're done, because these were such a huge part of my life. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, that TikTok that you guys sent us of that one, or maybe you didn't send it, but I found it in one of those articles of someone who just like reads old magazines. She flips through them on her YouTube and her TikTok.
Yeah.
This is the new thing I do now. I just watch those. So thank you so much for that.
I feel like it's just as calming as doing like adult coloring books. I'm like, this is even better because I'm not only nostalgic, but then I also get to laugh and be reminded of insane stories or weird quizzes. I really feel regretful that we didn't have a quiz ready for you guys today, because now it's all I want to do.
We could just do that at our sleepover.
Okay.
Oh my god, perfect. Please.
Perfect. At a magazine creation meeting, we can start off by doing a quiz.
Perfect.
Love it.
Anyone else?
They were problematic, but they made me me.
I will say, one of the only times in my childhood that I ever like thought a girl was cute was when I was flipping through a teen magazine. And like my Catholic heart was like, this can't be happening. But I like
close it and burn it.
Close it now. It's still looking at you.
Say three Hail Marys. Say a rosary.
I remember like they were, I don't know, spotlighting like a girl equestrian. And I was like, she's so beautiful. Oh no. What does that mean? And then I was like horrified. Because like the truth is, there was like, I don't ever remember reading about any like same sex anything in those magazines. So really the only connection you have is like, oh, do I think this person is cute in this magazine? I don't know. Do y'all remember any like, I am writing in because I'm a teenager and I'm gay. Or like whatever.
There was one that was like, I'm a camp counselor in training because I had thought about wanting to do that and ended up sort of half-assed doing it one summer. And they were just sort of like writing with like, here's my summer job. And I think that was like the closest I got to anybody being like, oh, I don't know. This is how I afford stuff. Like I have a job and that's why I have a car. And I was like, ah, job equals car. Got it. Taking notes.
Key information.
Well, I think that we've covered all sorts of bases today. I'm just happy that we have all collectively decided we're going to start a magazine. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Throw us all the VC money, San Francisco. Well, thank you so much for joining us, ladies. We really, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. This was so much fun.
This was so fun.
Yes. Oh, we're so happy we're on today. We wanted to offer you some time to plug anything you're all working on. We'd love to let the people know what you are all about and what you are thriving on. What are you vibing on? I don't know. I'm sounding like one of these early 2000s teen magazines.
Okay, Chica, I think we can just let them have the floor.
I was gonna be like, well, if you're looking for a totes rad podcast with the besties about the time of the month,
down
now
there,
Meg, you go. Yeah. What? Down exactly. there.
Eyebrow wag.
So we started this podcast about periods to demystify, bitch about, and laugh at menstruation. And, you know, I think we didn't even get into like advertisements in the magazines, but they were definitely tampon and pad ads in those, mm-hmm. in those suckers. Uh-huh. But
there was which a we've pad talked- ad of that I totally forgot about that was like two cartoons. And it was like a dude and a girl. And she's like looking at the clock. She wants to change her pad. And he thinks that she's staring at him. And I remembered how funny they were because they were like different situations that you would find yourself in. It's like always like the caption would be like this long story where like I appreciate that they were like is so absorbent. It's just like this will make you feel better and you won't be staring at a clock or you won't be feeling uncomfortable. And they had this whole series for the longest time, and I don't know why we strayed away from cartoons because no one wants to watch like blue dye get spilled onto a pad.
So true.
Exactly.
Sorry, Kate, I interrupted your spiel because I can't believe I forgot to bring up
that
excellent pad ad.
Listen, we've done commercial or what am I saying? We've done episodes on commercials and advertisements like that. We didn't talk about that one. I had totally forgotten about those. But so if y'all are interested, if listeners are interested, listen in. Someone else keep talking. I think I'm losing my train of thought.
Well, we've got 5 seasons. We're like currently on hiatus, prepping for our 6th season. So you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts like this fine podcast. And like, you know, give us a try. You can also find us on.
Yeah. Find you on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah. We have an Instagram account that we have a lot of fun on. It's Vicious Cycle Podcast. We also have, I believe, our Facebook updates with the same stuff. So if you're still on Facebook, Mom, go ahead and find us. And the only other thing I have to plug is the company I work with Margot, Killing My Lobster. We have a holiday YouTube streaming thing happening this December. So if you want to watch some holiday joy, check out killingmylobster.com for details on the holiday show.
And as that comes up, I will definitely mention it again on the pod. So stay tuned. And don't you guys have merch?
We do have merch. There's always a sale going on. Yeah, we have merch at Tee Public. We have a beautiful link tree that I don't know, some goddess made for us. And all the information is there. We also have a Patreon. We also have a TikTok. That's really just me still learning how to do TikTok. So if you want to see that progression, it's a real treat. For not that many people.
It's exclusive. Meg, don't sell yourself short. It's exclusive.
There you go. Exclusive. But yeah, we've had some really fantastic guests on. Danielle Perez, who we had on this season, is blowing up. She was just in Variety for like an upcoming comic to watch. And so we are really excited.
Oh, Vulture, yeah.
Vulture, you're right, Vulture. And we've got some great guests for next season that we're trying to wrangle. If you are best friends with Busy Phillips, give us a call. If you're best friends with Allie Wong, who else are our like guests that we would
Michelle Buteau. I'd love to have Michelle.
Oh,
on.
Love
Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Another dream guest. There's so many awesome people out there. Amy Schumer that love to talk about their period. And we're like, you could do it here.
We encourage them to all. They need to come on your show. And we hope they do. And while they're at it, maybe kick them on over to Old Millennial.
Right.
Yeah. We'll just do a little swapsies.
Yeah. You know, I'm in. I'm always trying to. You know,
the old Shoom, she'd be a great fit on both pods.
Yeah. You would indeed.
Well, thank you so much, ladies, once again. And thanks for listening to our podcast. If you like what you heard, you can check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Audible, and Pocket Casts, wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. And the best way to stay up to date on our latest episodes is to subscribe to our pod. And while you're at it, hitting that subscribe button, maybe leave us a rating and a review. We always love to see it.
Additionally, we're on social media. You can check us out on Instagram and Facebook at The Old Millennials Pod. And of course, we have a Patreon now where you can check us out at Old Millennials Pod. Just $5 a month gets you lots of fun content. Finally, you can find us individually on Twitter. I am at Emily A. Bejean.
And I'm at Marg She Wrote.
And until next time, we say bye-bye.
Bye.